CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. Florida residents who fled Hurricane Milton are heading back, some to destruction, after the storm that is blamed for at least 17 deaths. CBS's Tom Hansen tells us more than 4,200 people were rescued from flooded areas.
Cleanup efforts across hard-hit Hillsborough County are underway as Floridians continue to grapple with the destruction and flooding left behind from Hurricane Milton. The Alafaya River swallowed streets, lawns, and yards, leaving roofs of nearby homes peeking out from its floodwaters. On Friday afternoon, the river rose to a record 23 feet.
Turning now to the 2024 election, Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris just released a letter from her doctor pronouncing her in good health and fit for high office. More from CBS's Willie James Inman.
In battleground Arizona, Vice President Kamala Harris said she would create a bipartisan group of advisors to help her make decisions as commander-in-chief.
In order for us as America to maintain our status as the strongest democracy in the world, we need a healthy two-party system.
The move comes as Harris is reaching out to Republican voters while the campaign ramps up its message to black male voters, a group that Trump has worked to court.
Republican nominee Donald Trump is on the campaign trail, appearing at a Latino roundtable in Las Vegas and later at a rally in California. The Israeli military orders more evacuations in Lebanon as it ramps up its attacks on Hezbollah. CBS's MTS Tayyap is in Beirut.
Well, this place of worship has really become a refuge for those who have fled Israel's bombing, telling us that they would rather sleep here out in the open than go back to their neighborhoods until they know it's safe.
It's curtains for hundreds of 7-Elevens.
Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven's coming down to earth a bit, announcing plans to close down 444 of its stores described as underperforming across North America. Sales are slowing with less foot traffic. A big factor in that is cigarette purchases. A key sales category for convenience stores have fallen 26% since 2019, and a shift to other nicotine products is not making up much of the difference.
When you vape, you may be exposing your lungs to toxic chemicals.
Michael Toscano, CBS News.
The countdown to the World Series is on as the LA Dodgers take down the San Diego Padres to win Game 5 and advance to the semifinals. This fan is psyched.
It's so stressful. This is such a relief of excitement, though, to just finally be done with it, have the win.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Native American tribes in Wisconsin are bringing back the traditional wild rice harvest. Mike Moan reports.
Closely intertwined with indigenous culture and identity, this important resource was decimated after the arrival of European settlers. But today, many partners are supporting initiatives to restore wild rice beds. Joe Gravine leads such efforts for the Lac du Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians in northern Wisconsin. He says as their work began to produce positive results, it was a joy to see excitement among fellow harvesters.
To see that abundance of rice that hasn't been there for 20 years, that smile on their face, the energy that they give off.
Over the past couple of centuries, activities like indiscriminate logging, dam building, and mining played a role in wiping out the presence of wild rice. Despite the recent revival, new threats like climate change have emerged that could affect the plant's future. That's prompted calls for more research and funding to build on recent success stories. Gravine suggests they're at a crucial point in scaling up harvesting, noting that inconsistent weather patterns complicate the management plans.
You know, we're getting a major storm, rainstorms, whatever, you know, right when the rice is ripe.
In some cases, teams are combining emerging data with cultural instincts to monitor growing trends and get a sense of how future seasons will play out. Many partners are supporting the restoration work, including state, federal, and intertribal agencies, universities, and non-government organizations. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Swarthy Rahman for Manga Bay.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Some sprinkles or light showers today, otherwise mostly cloudy, highs near 60. Partly cloudy, 40 tonight. Chance of showers for Sunday, quite breezy with highs in the mid-50s. And northwest winds up to 35 miles per hour. Monday, sunshine and 52.
It's 51 at our studios.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to Kelly Robinson from the Human Rights Campaign. Hour number two, donating blood, more important than ever. We're going to talk diversity. I hope you'll join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I might have a little dirt on my boots, but I'm taking you uptown.
What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish alongside Shotgun Danielle Fairman.
I like that. Shotgun.
Do you?
I do.
You like Shotgun Danielle Fairman?
Maybe.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's not. How about Danielle Shotgun Fairman?
I don't know. No.
Shotgun Danielle Fairman? Danielle?
I feel like that
producer Jess, what do you think?
Danielle shot Fairman gun.
Danielle,
yes, that's exactly
shot
it.
Fairgun.
Nailed it.
Danielle Fairgun. Fairgun.
There you go.
Fairgun.
Danielle Fairgun.
Hey, man, this is Raised in Wisco. You can listen to us on all your Civic Media stations from the furthest corners of Wisconsin all the way down to the furthest corners in the South on all your Civic Media stations, 13 of them statewide, Saturdays at 11 o'clock. This is your one-stop shop for everything outdoors in the great state of Wisconsin. This week, I'm super jacked. I'm not going to waste any time.
But what?
Well, slow down.
Oh, hold.
You're sitting right next to him.
I know. Oh,
I'm so excited. Taylor Finger is the state game bird ecologist for the Department of Natural Resources. But Broski has his stuff together because I love talking to this guy.
Me too.
Not only is he the state game bird ecologist in charge of everything, all the hunting species, but he's in charge of non-hunting species and small game. He's going in an airplane tomorrow, a Cessna in an airplane tomorrow to count ducks. How awesome does that sound?
You're kidding.
Yeah, about 150 feet in the air, 200 miles an hour. And yeah, just doing
how in the world are you going to do that?
It's not.
You got to count them really fast.
Go, yeah.
When you get the big fox, you go more like 50, 100, 150. And
so you're kind of guessing, it's a guesstimate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh. An educated guess.
An educated guess. And I'm going to get right into our weekly Wiscos here because I had a pretty phenomenal weekly Wisco. But I'm really excited because Taylor Finger's on the show with us today. The Fall Life Pro staff member Mike Kretschmer is along, and sometimes fill-in guest host Mike Kretschmer is along too. But I have a feeling here that with Taylor talking about all the stuff that he's got going on right now, I don't know if you're going to get much of a chance to talk today, Mike.
I'm going to be moral support.
You're here for moron support?
Yeah.
Perfect. That's perfect.
I like that.
Well, yeah, once in a while, I include myself in
I'll take whatever support I can get.
That's the spirit.
Just not athletic support.
Not from me.
Joel Clayfish.
We are 3 minutes in.
We're already.
Does that count as a dad joke?
No, that's more of a good joke.
That's
a good joke, not a dad joke.
That was funny.
Hey, I do play kickball on Friday nights, just to let you know. So there's a little bit of athleticism out of me.
Is there?
Really? Do you use all of your 1% of athleticism on the Thursdays that you play kickball?
It's Fridays. It's beer league, co-ed. It's fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Enjoying Wisconsin's weather.
I'll go ahead and take your word for it while I'm sitting in the deer stand. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we have better things to talk about than me playing kickball right now. This guy's full of knowledge here. So
you know what? So kickball is your weekly Wisco. You play kickball. And obviously, it never surprises me, or I should say, I guess it never surprises me the weird sports that end up being popular in Wisconsin.
How is kickball weird? Well, when was the last time you
played kickball? Something you played when you were a little kid.
Like an elementary situation. Or dodgeball.
Kickball, pickleball now is like this massive thing.
I know, there's like two courts within a block of me.
Well, and in pickleball, all it really is kind of like a miniature slow version of tennis, really. Mm. I mean, I've never played it, but that's what it looks like.
Ping pong.
It's a lot easier.
Okay, all right. Huge ping pong.
Jumbo ping pong.
Yeah.
Miniature tennis or jumbo ping pong. Why are you laughing, Taylor?
Because I'm due my Thursday league, horseshoe league. So,
my gosh. See? Horseshoe league. Now, do you actually have to be a grandpa to play horseshoe league? Or?
My wife and I are by far the youngest people.
I can't imagine. And you're 67, so.
I actually do Monday night bocce ball up at Timmer's on
you
Big
do
Cedar
not.
Lake.
See, that sounds awesome.
That
love
is fun.
Bocce ball.
And I am definitely
are most
the youngest.
Of the people Italian there?
German, Italian. It's definitely a late crowd. And
did you just say Italian?
Italian.
Yes, he did.
Okay, that is like, I'm a linguistic freak, and I cannot handle when people
Italian?
Say Italian.
Is it brats or sausages?
Well, it's brats. Brats are a type of sausage, but an Italian sausage is Italian,
okay,
not Italian.
Italian,
you Italian.
We all Italian.
We all. Oh, my gosh. Jess, can you please mark down that Danielle just had a dad joke?
Yeah. Yay. I'm going to formally write that one down in my notes.
Danielle, what's your weekly Wisco?
Birds are not the only thing that flies.
Birds are not the only thing that flies. This sounds more like a bad riddle.
So I went out dove hunting.
Okay.
And it was a great time. Fantastic. We harvested, I don't know, about 6-7 doves.
Beautiful. They're delicious.
They are delicious. Bandit retrieved his first dove. It was fantastic.
Awesome.
We get to a different spot and where we're going to puddle jump. And then we decided, there's not really many
blocks. What is puddle jump?
Puddle jump is where,
shooting?
Yeah, jump shooting.
Okay, all right.
Jump shooting.
I gotcha.
And then,
jump shooting, for those of you who don't understand what that means, you sneak up on a pond or a body of water or a puddle. And you spook whatever wildlife is on it that is harvestable during that season, and you attempt to shoot it before it gets away.
So we were walking, and then all of a sudden they got up and flew away before we even got a chance. No big deal.
What were there? Ducks?
They were just ducks, yeah.
Okay.
Not just, they were ducks.
I love ducks.
They were ducks. And we go back up and put everything in, and then a farmer comes out and starts talking. And I'm like, oh, great. We started talking for a little bit. I get back in my truck. My boyfriend Josh and I get back in the truck and drive off. 33 minutes all the way back to the house.
Okay.
I go to back up the driveway and I realize that my tailgate is still open.
Oh, no.
So
I had
on the way.
My duck decoys, my dove decoys. Oh, I had a dozen goose decoys, but I had the goose bag, decoy bag, so that was totally fine. I had my dove. More dove mojo decoys, guns, ammo, like the whole shebang.
Did anything fall out?
Just one dove decoy. One of them.
Oh, those are like $2.
Oh, wow. I know. But out of all the things, and Bandit's new collar, his Garmin collar, it was all back there, and it was just sitting on the back of the tailgate.
I would like to call that a win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would take that
thing,
as a win all day.
A dove decoy, just one. They blew it up, and it was all the way back to where we started.
So your weekly Wisco is that God was looking down upon you
right?
while you were driving like a bat out of hell with your back tailgate open.
I gunned it across a couple ways because there was a dump truck and a trailer coming. He was going to turn left. I was like, oh, I'll be courteous and cross so he does not have to make a super wide turn.
I think that's a pretty good memorable thing from the
week. Oh, my goodness.
Right?
I would take it for sure.
And then dove for dinner.
Dove for dinner. Okay, my weekly Wisco is that, now for those of you who know me, you know my passion is waterfowl hunting, turkey hunting, and traveling to hunt big game species. But I love sitting in a deer stand. I really do love sitting in a deer stand. I will sit in a deer stand. I'll bring my computer along. and I will do emails. I'll do work while I'm in the deer stand. So I get in the deer stand. Now I'm out of, you know, we eat only wild game at our house. Mm-hmm. And we've had a prolific early goose season. I've killed a lot of geese. We've eaten them all. I'm still not at my possession limit because we eat so much of it. We're going to talk later in the show about the goose Philly cheesesteaks I made. Taylor Ooh, Finger, Mike delicious. Kretschmer, I fed them. Producer Jess tried it today. We brought in a little bit for her.
It's so good.
Oh, that makes me so happy, especially for someone that we're, you know, Danielle and I are going to be exposing to hunting this year. I'm so excited about Jess trying the wild game and actually liking mm-hmm. it. I mean, we want to dispel the myths that wild game doesn't taste good because it really is some of the best meat you can ever eat. We'll get to that. But my weekly Wisco is I was sitting in the blind and about 10 minutes after, and I meant to sit in there, watch the sunset, get some work done. 10 minutes after I was out there and I'm out of, I don't have any venison in the freezer, deer venison. I'm out. And a doe came in, right, like a nice mature doe came in, you know, 5 minutes into my sit. And so I had my vertical bow. I hunt only with a vertical bow, and you can have whatever opinions you want about that. But it's an old Matthews Z7 from, you know, I don't know, it's probably 12 or 13 years old already. But I can't give it up because it was such a nicely made bow. That was just a great bow by Matthews, a Wisconsin company. Mm-hmm. And so I stood up real carefully, wound up, and put a perfect kill shot on it. So my weekly Wisco is awesome. I harvested a doe that is going to feed my family, you know, until that runs out. And I'm pretty excited about that. And now that it's just Becky and me at the house, I end up inviting a lot more people to come over and eat. But nothing makes me happier than sharing wild game. So So that was my weekly Wisco. I'm going to ask Taylor Finger, state game bird ecologist for the DNR, what his weekly Wisco is, but I'm guessing it's tomorrow.
Yeah. I get up and fly Green Bay for aerial duck surveys. I'll fly the entire Bay of Green Bay, counting anything and everything all the way from the southern end of the shore all the way up to the UP of Michigan.
Wow.
That is really exciting.
Is that a whole day? Eight hours? Yeah. What do you?
We'll probably start at about 9, and we'll probably get done at about 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Do you get nervous? Go ahead, Dan.
I was like, can anybody else join? Can I call
it's a,
it?
It's a small plane.
I can call it and stick to work.
Yeah, it's
you know there
tight
are
in
applications
there.
Available to work for the Department of Natural Resources, Danielle.
That would be nice.
I don't know if the positions are going to pay you the ching you make as a heavy equipment operator.
Probably
I'll tell
not.
You that. I see your new truck and your trips to South Africa now. I mean,
I know, I'm so
buying
excited.
Decoys. This
Just
makes me happy.
Dream now.
Well, it makes me very happy. And I don't think there's any better way to spend your money in the world to spend money than on the outdoors. And that's what I love so much. I'm so excited about that. So, Kretschmer, you had a good week?
Yeah.
What'd you do? Anything crazy in the outdoors?
I sat in the tree stand a little bit. You know, I watched the weather and it didn't prevail, but I got my eye on one or two good ones out there and I'm about ready to fill the freezer like you did. So well, it's getting there.
I'm really excited to talk to Taylor Finger, state game bird ecologist, about the populations of waterfowl this year, what we can expect, what are the best ways to hide, banded birds, which we banned the most of here in Wisconsin, which I didn't know. And remember how important all this stuff is to who you vote for in November, and make sure to download the Civic Media app to listen to Raised in Wisco and all your favorite shows on Civic Media at any time. And to be a voter in 2024, early voting's open. Make a plan. Vote for whoever you think will represent you the best. This in every election. That's your civic duty. Got a little dirt on my boots. Got a little dirt on my
boots. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What are you too embarrassed to do alone?
I can't go into the library without a date.
Interesting.
Yes, I'm no loser.
Grocery store.
Yeah.
You prefer to do that alone.
Absolutely.
When I used to go with my roommate, he would take longer than me, and I'd be sitting in the car with all my groceries for like 20 minutes.
I can't even shop with my wife. She's browsing, and I respect that, but I can't do it. I'm a mission guy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go yeah, vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
State of Wisconsin, the best place in the United States to enjoy the outdoors. This is Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. Super D, Danielle Fairman, riding shotgun. We're not sure if we're going to go with
the shotgun
Danielle Fairman or Danielle Shotgun Fairman. You know, I know a shotgun Sarah and a shotgun Schaefer. So, I mean, I figure it's there's like probably a lot taken. Of people out there that have shotgun in their name. Or they like shotgun in their name.
Oh, here comes Kretschmer.
Kretschmer, what? Do you want to be shotgun Kretschmer now? Or
what about BB gun?
BB gun. BB gun Danielle.
I don't know.
BB gun Danielle.
Pew pew. Doesn't quite have the same flow to it. Something more like a little space laser.
Could be finger gun.
Finger guns. Pew pew. What about... what about like Slingshot Steve? I feel like there has to be alliteration in a good outdoor nickname. I feel like there's got to be some kind of.
I mean, most good nicknames. Like, you gotta have.
What's
a
up,
of that.
Everybody? I'm Jump Shooting Joel. I mean,
Jump Shooting Joel. I feel like you planned that one out. I didn't. You're waiting.
He's been thinking about it for a long time.
I did not.
In his back pocket for like 2 years.
And on the show tonight, we've got Cormorant Corey.
Cormorant Kretschmer.
Let's go over to Merganser Mike Kretschmer. And Dingo Danielle. Wait, does someone?
No. The dingo ate you, baby.
Nobody hunts dingoes, do they? Can you hunt dingoes? You might. Jess, what would be your outdoor nickname?
Oh, no.
How about
girl that too,
I don't
me?
Know what's something
that, just
what's
just.
Something we hunt in the outdoors that starts with a J?
Jackalope.
Jackalope.
Jess.
Jackalope. Jess. I'll
Jackalope.
Take it.
Jackalope. Jess.
Yeah.
We're gonna go to the North Woods, where the sightings of the Bigfoot stands to Jackalope. Jess.
Yeah.
All right, we have a really good guest on. Let's
I know.
Get to
Look,
it.
Listen to Kretschmer reeling us in.
Oh, hey, thanks, that... producer Mike.
Yeah, thanks.
You don't want me to do no producing.
Yes, we don't want the guy who speaks grammatically incorrect the most of us out here doing the producing. Italians. State game bird ecologist. Ooh, I think I'm sweating. State game bird ecologist Taylor Finger, who is very high on the ladder in the DNR. He's very humble about himself, but this is a guy who literally helps determine the seasons for waterfowl hunting. He is part of determining bag limits, how many birds you can kill, how many hens versus, you know, drake, mallards, and things like that. He's going in an airplane tomorrow to do duck counts, to do waterfowl counts. Why? You know, a lot of people ask, there are fights every year between folks who hunt over the season dates and the break. Right now, I mean, this is our first day back open. This Saturday, today, is our first day back open after a waterfowl hunting break. Why is the season structured the way it is? So many people say, let it go longer. That's when the real ducks are coming, the colorful ducks with the orange feet are coming. Why is the season structured the way it is?
So per federal requirements, where the state of Wisconsin's allowed 60 days, and then we can utilize splits and zones to try to expand that season, but still only 60 days worth of hunting. So the argument is do we use those 60 days early? Do we use those 60 days late? What do we do? And so the state of Wisconsin has roughly 65,000 waterfowl hunters. And honestly, the process that we go through is, it doesn't matter if you hunt 60 days or you hunt 4 days. Everyone bought a license, and the vast majority of our duck hunters hunt early in the year. So again, recognizing that there's the
why,
because again, they're local. We have our own local birds. We're producing our own birds. Warmer weather. Weather's nice, and it's before bow and deer hunting season.
I think that makes a big difference.
And again, but the avid people are out there. The ones that are hunting in December want to shoot those plumed out birds. They are very, very avid, but they represent a very small number of duck hunters that are actually out there.
What he's talking about.
Seeing the whole white snow coming down and the ducks flying in, I don't think that gets better. I'd rather see that than the fall background.
I've had some of my best days of duck hunting was when I wasn't duck hunting. Like, it was,
oh, yeah.
You're goose hunting and the mallards are just pouring into your spread and you are crying because you cannot pull the trigger. And that frustrates me as an avid outdoorsman. That I could give you all of October. Just give me that last 2 weeks of November, first 2 weeks of December. Give me 30 days, and that's all I want. But there's other sides of people love shooting the wood ducks. People love taking the kids out. People love just
not
all
freezing
over.
Their rear right. ends off while they're out there.
And honestly, the amount of birds that move through the state in October far exceeds the amount
Come
of
on.
Birds that are here in December.
Really?
It's just that those birds that are here in December, again, typically ice is starting to freeze up, so then they show up in places.
They're showing up in tighter spots because there's less available water.
You know, 10,000 mallards and think, oh, my God, the migration's finally come. But we know that 500,000 birds migrated through the state in October.
Wow. Hmm. I guess I never looked at it that way. I never looked Me at either. It that way. I'm a field hunter, so I don't have a boat. I field hunt. The birds that are around, I mean, waterfowl hunters right now who are chasing ducks are in marshes or on boats on bodies of water. Because right now, there's not a lot of crops off yet. Farmers are just starting to take field corn. Now, they took some corn early for, you know, silage, feed their cows.
But there's not much left on the ground for the birds when they do that.
No, there's not much left. And you don't really see, why don't you see the fields? Why don't you see waterfowl ducks, rather? I mean, you see plenty of geese out there on cut soybean and on wheat. Why don't you see ducks in the fields early?
Because right now they're just feasting in all of the awesome submerged aquatic vegetation, the wetland plants, the moist soil plants. The point of us managing wetlands is for that really good quality wetland food. And right now there's an absolute pile of it out there. Until all the birds come and eat it all up, then they have to move to that waste grain in the fields.
Hmm. Man, he's so smart about all this, isn't he?
I would say that's like me, you know, going from the
couch. No, wait a minute. That's a horrible transition.
Yeah.
I
Not
said
smart.
He's so smart about
I'm
this.
I'm saying like going from the couch to the refrigerator
right.
versus going from the couch to the grocery store. Like, you're going to go to the refrigerator first before you go to the grocery store. So I think they're kind of, they're on a sense lazy. They're going to eat the, right?
Yep. the low-hanging fruit. I mean, again, this
that.
Is where I got to stay until I don't have anything left, and then I got to start looking.
I've said that a lot of times. If you want to be a good hunter, and I won't say I'm a good hunter. I will say that I put a lot of effort into hunting. I scout like crazy, and I spend a lot of time in the beginning of the day before I go to work hunting. I won't say I'm a great hunter, but one thing that I think people underestimate is that animals are a lot like electricity. They will follow the path of least resistance. You want to find deer, find the trails that lead to the food and water. You want to find ducks and geese, find the closest spot between water and food and cut them off. I think that is if there were any bit of advice I could give on to a new hunter or even a seasoned hunter is see what the path of least resistance for that animal to get from their roosting to their food and water, and you're going to end up having success out there. I can't wait to talk to Taylor Finger, state game bird ecologist, more about the banding in Wisconsin. And this is a fascinating thing to me, because shooting bands is something that's exciting for waterfowl hunters. And we're going to talk a little bit about the small game hunting in Wisconsin and what that means. Plus, our recipe of the week, woo, Philly goose steak. Can't wait.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. At least 17 deaths are blamed on Hurricane Milton, and some returning home to Florida after fleeing the storm are stunned by the damage.
If you look at this, absolutely, I thought my neighbors were dead. Post-traumatic syndrome doesn't even fit.
Republican nominee Donald Trump on the campaign trail this weekend.
As you know, I'm putting everything on the line to fight for you, and I am also only asking you for one thing. Vote. Get out and vote.
Democrat Kamala Harris released a doctor's letter saying she is fit for office. More misery in Gaza amid more evacuations ordered by the Israeli military, the BBC's Donison.
Israel has told up to 400,000 Palestinians still living in northern Gaza to evacuate for their own safety, and so it can continue to try to eliminate the threat from Hamas.
This as the UN prepares for a second round of polio vaccinations for children in Gaza. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the Bucks and the Bulls. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks getting ready to host the Chicago Bulls Monday night. Milwaukee still looking for their first win in the preseason. They're 0-2. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers playing at Rutgers today. We'll have a recap of the game coming up tonight. NFL, Packers placing tight end Luke Musgrave on injured reserve. He'll be out at least 4 weeks due to an ankle injury. The Packers hosting the Cardinals tomorrow. And wide receiver Romeo Doubs spoke to reporters for the first time since he was suspended last weekend for one game. Doubs did not want to go into details, but said it was a personal struggle. Has he been in contact with his family?
Yes, I got the family together again. I said there were some things going on off the field. So as far as just the organization, staff, players, there's nothing going on. So I just want to make myself clear there. But again, if we're just talking about the moment, I'm just thankful that I'm still here. It's a great staff, great players, great support. So
that's Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Some sprinkles or light showers today, otherwise mostly cloudy, highs near 60. Partly cloudy, 40 tonight. Chance of showers for Sunday, quite breezy with highs in the mid-50s. And northwest winds up to 35 miles per hour. Monday, sunshine and 52.
It's 51 at our studios.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Some group of kids from Stevens Point were using racial slurs against black and mixed race players on the Eau Claire North team. Let's go to Joe. What's he?
One of the things that makes this state great is the legacy of Vince Lombardi. He tells his players, you are all equal on my team. Vince Lombardi would never have tolerated that sort of behavior. And he's one of our heroes.
Joe, as you always do, you nailed it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk with the vice president of the Bartell Theater in Madison. Steve Knoll joins me to talk about the scary movies you can see all month. And we discuss the anniversary of Pulp Fiction.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're shining down on me, showing me the way. Angel in the night, here to save the day. Like a light out of the dark, straight across the sky. Up there in that starlight, starlight.
Everywhere across the great tonight. State of Wisconsin, you have an opportunity to get your fill of the outdoors on Raised in Wisco, heard Saturdays on Civic Media stations from the far northern reaches of Wisconsin all the way to the Illinois border on your Civic Media stations. Saturdays at 11 o'clock, Joel Clayfish here running the ship with the first mate, Danielle Fairman, at here. My side. And I only say that in jest because half the time she and Jess are really running things and I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah, you might have the title, but we all know who keeps the ship running. We all know who wears pants.
I'm not sure what... You do know the woman I'm married to, right? I always say...
She's pretty yeah,
my wife was the lieutenant governor of Wisconsin for 8 years.
She and wears
I always
pants.
Tell people, Becky used to be my wife. Now I'm just her husband. And that's just perfectly okay with me. I have no problem with authority whatsoever. Producer Jess has got things in line for us. Really appreciate her. Appreciate Danielle
Absolutely.
Having you along. Raised in Wisco is your place to find out about the outdoors of Wisconsin, how to use it the best you can, how to have fun, how to eat from the outdoors, and how to live a lifestyle in Wisconsin that's just plain fun and exciting. Taylor Finger is the state game bird ecologist sitting next to Mike Kretschmer. He is a pro staff for the Fowl Life and one of my hunting buddies since I started hunting at the tender age of 38 years old. Taylor Finger has his hand, has his finger on the pulse.
Oh, yes. There it is. I've been close to it right at the start.
Yeah. I can't
we
believe.
We almost went a whole show without one.
Without a dad joke. I can't believe I haven't been using that throughout the.
Seriously.
Hey, Taylor Finger's got his fingers in so many pots across the state when it comes to waterfowl and
keep
small
game. Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
I bet you've heard all of them. You probably heard all of them.
Yeah. I rode the school bus my entire life. So again, I.
You heard them all.
Kids were mean, so yeah, aww. Absolutely.
Well, you know what? Guess who got the last laugh?
Right.
You're like in charge. Are you ever like, so this guy's like in charge of when the duck and goose seasons are, when the breaks are, how many things you can get in your bag limit. He's in charge of, he bans birds. He's banded thousands of birds himself. Which is so fascinating to me.
I really want to know how that process is.
Well, yeah, I want to. Yeah, that's a great question.
Like, in my head, you just have the netting gun. Yeah. Pow.
Yeah, no. So we have a couple of different options here in Wisconsin. So we have their walk-in traps, which essentially are just confusion traps. So we put corn in there and they walk in and then they can't figure out how to get out. So again, yeah, that one's a
that sounds like me in my living room.
What?
Yeah. It's a small operation, but the other stuff that we have, we use cannon nets, which essentially we have shotgun shells full of gunpowder that are attached to weights that are attached to nets. And then we put out a truckload full of corn and the birds will get up on it. And once we hit the button, it lights the propellant, throws the weight over the top of them, and then the net lays over the top of them. So
okay.
And then
okay.
How do you go? Do you just...
Then you just scramble.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I
yeah.
want to do
shooting
that.
Nets at birds.
Yeah. Can we do that?
Oh, it's a sit and wait, and you're like, oh, is there enough on there? Is there enough on there? And then all of a sudden you shoot, and you're like, oh, there's 500 birds on the net. Now we got to work.
No, how big is the net?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, in some cases, it's like a 40-foot net, 50-foot net.
Wow.
Across.
Oh, my gosh. That is so
then you've
crazy.
Just got... a bunch of birds under a net.
Yeah, and then
what
we got 20 volunteers, and we all pull them out. We put them in little boxes, get probably 10, 12 birds in a box, and then you just sit there and you just ban these ducks for the next hour and a half, 2 hours.
Do you just tuck them under your elbow like a football?
Yeah, how do you ban them? Like, do you grab them and squeeze them like a football?
You look at the wing, you look at the bill, and then if you have to, you have to open them up to sex them, you know, in terms of seeing if it's a male or female. We have to get adult versus juvenile, and then, we put a metal band on them, and we use that information to show harvest, like, are we shooting more hens than drakes? Are we shooting more adults than juveniles? And that goes into the entire process for how we set the seasons.
Wow.
So is there a banding mechanism? Is there like a pliers that you use
to
band them?
You can buy special you can buy special banding pliers, but in most cases we just use regular pliers or needle nose pliers or whatever someone's coming with.
It has to be so loud.
Okay.
Yeah, for geese, it's very loud. For ducks, it's not too bad.
What else do you band?
So the state of Wisconsin bans...
I was going to add, that's a good question. Do you only ban hunted species?
There's a lot of raptors. We banned eagles. We banned osprey. We banned a lot of those birds. If we catch certain things for owls, we'll ban those. We were talking a little bit earlier. There's banning pelicans. There's banning all...
What's the toughest thing or the weirdest thing you banned?
About pelicans. Pelicans are...
Why is it a pelican?
What is it about pelicans?
Because when you get on a site where they typically are, which is, a colonial nesting site, if you're getting them for research, their mechanism for defense is to throw up.
What?
And
sounds effective.
And I'm going to start using that as a defense mechanism when I'm uncomfortable.
And it gets worse because when they throw up, they have leftover food in that bag, that pouch, and it's got maggots and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Wait a minute. When a pelican throws up, it's barfing maggots.
And food and whatever else it can throw at you.
Oh, that's the worst
thing I've ever heard.
So you got to take a shower right after you're done doing that.
How many pelicans
protection. It's all plastic. You don't wear anything you want to have. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know that feeling you get like in the back of your throat when you're going to, like Danielle is literally heaving.
She's getting hot.
Producer Jeff.
Mouth starting to water.
She's starting to sweat.
Oh no.
Okay. Real quick.
That sounds horrible.
For the listeners, banding is an actual metal band with a number on it, correct?
Yeah, it's an aluminum band that has a unique identification number as well as a web page or website to go onto to register it. And again, it's really important for us because we spend all this time and money and effort to get at these harvest rates in terms of looking at the birds. So when a hunter comes across, and it's truly a trophy for folks, we've really made that message known, because if the higher reporting rate we can get, the more confident we have in the data.
Okay, so well, with this pelican you're banding, we're obviously not shooting pelicans.
Right, yeah. In most cases for that, that's a research project that we would be putting a band on. So if we came back year after year, you'll recapture that bird. I'm like, oh yeah, that's that bird.
Some people do find them naturally dead and report the bands.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yep.
Sure. I mean, now I can tell you as an avid goose and waterfowl hunter, there's really very few things more exciting than harvesting a bird that's got a band on it. I've seen literal fist fights break out in fields over the band.
Oh, I believe that.
Because you put them on your lanyard, and you folks have seen, if you ever watch us on Facebook on Raised in Wisco, you'll see my lanyard. It's full of bands on it.
You'll see mine. It has none.
Well, none yet.
None either. I've banded thousands of birds personally, and I've never shot one.
And you've never shot a banded bird. We're going to have to change that, Taylor. Have you ever just kind of tucked one in your pocket?
No.
Really?
Oh, no. It's shady.
That would be so tempting. Kretschmer and I are looking at each other across the table. I mean,
we've talked about this off air, but I'm like, I've been doing it for 20 some odd years as a kid till now, and I've literally have one goose band and one wood duck band. But the cool thing is it came from Ontario, and my wood duck came from southern Mississippi. So, I mean, it's a real treat to find out where these animals are coming
to. It's
really
cool.
Yeah.
Is anybody else still thinking about this whole throwing up maggot situation? Is it just me?
We're not going to revisit that now. We're on to banding, Daniel.
I can't stop thinking about that.
I didn't have any idea pelicans threw up on people.
Real quick, was the wood duck a drake?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is something that we learned because we banned drake wood ducks that get banded in Mississippi and Alabama. They then fly north with a Wisconsin girl, and then that's when we shoot them. Again,
that was
certainly not the first time a man ended up dead following a woman.
Girl.
So, that's for sure.
We know.
It won't be the last.
Based on
wars
bands.
Have been started over this. Wars have been started over less.
And believe it or not, car accidents happen because of bands. Because guess what? Yeah. Crazy people like me.
Oh.
You see a dead goose on the side of the road. I've literally pulled up next to it,
so
opened my door. Oh, no band.
Sorry. I'll go to the frontage road and walk up from behind it, Mike, okay? But I have stopped to check dead birds on the road to see if they have a band before.
Yeah, that's a normal practice. Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do that. I mean, I have a friend who's got an eagle. He had a golden eagle band, I think.
What?
Yeah, because he found a golden eagle under power lines.
Yeah, I've banded... loons, and again, really, really cool with them. They have this. It's actually a stainless steel band that we have to put a lock pinch on.
Sure,
it because their bills are strong enough that if they can get it in there, they can pull it right
no,
off.
No, yeah. What?
Yeah,
loons.
Oh, I mean, they're
so
just,
how did they figure that one out? Because I just.
Yeah, seriously, that it was gone within the first, 5 minutes of them putting it on there without the lock on. It
Unbelievable. Yeah. Loons are strong. They're crazy good swimmers, too. People don't realize
they're like a 10, 12-pound bird. They're as big as a goose.
They don't have
the neck or the legs.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, they are cool and beautiful.
They are like an icon for northern Wisconsin. But when you don't want to see a loon is when it's chasing your musky bait next to the side of the boat.
You do not want to hook into a loon while you're musky fishing. That's for sure.
Cut the line.
Wow, that is so fascinating to me. Okay.
You're full of such knowledge.
I know. Well, he does have a master's degree. He has you have a master's from where?
Ontario.
He's got a master's from Ontario. Now, did they think you have an accent up there? Because I know they've got a thick Canadian accent up in the upper reaches of Ontario.
They're going out in a boat to watch the hockey, eh? Like, that's seriously
really good.
Well, I lived there for a couple of years.
Yeah, you went to get your graduate. So was it from the University of Ontario?
University of Western Ontario, yep.
University of what? So you have a master's degree in biology, in wildlife biology, and then you have a bachelor's degree in?
Wildlife management and biology from Point.
Okay, here's a question I have about, before we leave bands, because this is really something, I won't say, the number one reason I hunt waterfowl is for the passion of fooling Mother Nature and putting food on the table. That's fact. I eat the snot out of it, and it's delicious. I mean, producer Jess, you had a little sample of the goose Philly cheesesteak. Did you think for like even 1 second that was anything but like the best shredded beef you've ever eaten?
Yeah, I mean, it tasted like goose, but it was delicious.
Yeah, it's so good, man. Back to banding. I'm kind of back and forth because so one of the things that I hunt for food and I hunt for the thrill of it, but I'm out there to try to, I love collecting bands. Now I have friends who've hunted 5 years in specific areas and they have lanyards full of bands.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Matt Wilkie, a good friend of mine, phenomenal hunter, but I said, is your entire band full? And he goes, no. My band is full, and my dog's collar is full.
No.
He's got all around his dog's collar.
They're mostly geese, I imagine.
And they're all goose bands, and they're all because they're banded in Sheboygan near where he hunts.
Right. And the thing is, you tend to band family groups together.
Sure.
So then when you're hunting, it's a family that's flying by. So if you're going to shoot one, you're going to shoot usually a couple.
So with this whole banding situation, since he just said that he hunts where they get banded, are we banding the same area every year? Or
no,
do we go miles separate?
Yeah, for that reason. Because, again, we know that hunters will start targeting them. And the idea that we want to make a
then you get a
bird,
tainted sample.
Yeah, we want to make sure a banded bird represents regular birds. And so, we move all the way around. We try to find places that are relatively easy to band because it's cost effective and things like that. But it's one of those things that we rotate in different parts of the state. And even within counties, we try to find different places.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I have a couple questions, though. You get so much information when a banded bird is killed and reported. Why don't we ban more of them?
Again, just because of the cost of doing so. So, for example, a goose banding operation, for one area might be 15 staff that have to do it. So you got to figure that's the amount of travel, the amount of cost to do it. And then if we have a quota of 400 birds, well, you only got 30 at that spot. We'll pick everything up and go get 30 and pick everything up and go get 30. So that could be 5-6 days of 15 people's time.
So here's my idea. Here's my idea. I think this is an amazing idea and I want to see it happen. Let's make this happen, Taylor Finger. Why not allow private industry companies like Banded, the Fowl Life, Jargon, Avian, why not allow them to pay for the banding, and then on the bands, they'll get a discount code to buy the product of that place. A private-public partnership where you get more bands out there, and when you shoot a band, hey, I got a banded band, I got a foul life band, I got a foils band. Why not let the private sector be part of it, pay for it, and give the hunter an added benefit?
You'd have to work with the United States Geological Survey. They're the ones that handle everything. Well, so it's a federal
thing. I now have a connection there, and I think we're going to work on that. That's going to be awesome. And can't wait to tell you about our awesome food recipe coming up. Philly Goose Cheesesteaks, baby. Woo!
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marsh lands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's been a wreck, me, we, 60 plus from dawn to dusk in the red dirt heat. Busting it up for a couple of bucks, but it ain't no thing. Just another day till I'm on my
way. Raised in Wisco, your statewide Wisconsin cooking show.
Yep.
It's kind of a cooking show. Every week we talk about a recipe on Raised in Wisco. How to take your wild game from the field to the table. I'm Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman's alongside me. We've got the Department of Natural Resources State Game Bird Ecologist. That is a mouthful. Taylor Finger with us. And we've got our sometime fill-in host, Mike Kretschmer, also part of the Fowl Life pro staff and good buddy of the show with us today. And what a phenomenal show. It's been fascinating to me. Taylor Finger's got a master's degree in wildlife biology, and he is the guy in charge in Wisconsin of all the game birds. That's all the birds that are hunted and some of the species that aren't hunted, like cormorants. And as we learned, the pelicans. We did not realize their defense mechanism was regurgitation.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, if you missed that part.
They're not just a pretty white bird.
We're not going to revisit that.
But you can by looking at the podcast.
You can by checking out our podcast. You can check out all of our podcasts, Danielle. Where?
You can check our podcast at Civic Media on YouTube, Facebook, and that is it. Correct? Yeah. Producer Jess?
Spotify.
So if you are catching the tail end of our show, please don't be afraid to download us on our podcast. And let me tell you what, you will not be disappointed, but you certainly may be surprised. You may be surprised by what you hear on the show. Nothing is really off limits, and we love that. But something we do talk about quite a bit is taking a wild game and forage from Wisconsin from field to table. Today, I'm going to talk about the recipe that I actually brought in for producer Jess to try, and that is Philadelphia Canada Goose Cheesesteak. And the way everybody's afraid, many people are afraid to cook wild game. I mean, Taylor Finger, you know, you've been in this game a while. Kretschmer, you've been in the game a while. Danielle, I'd say the four of us are not afraid to try different things with wild game. And I think the technology that's out there with the pressure cookers, mm-hmm. the spices and rubs that are made for wild game. If you are creative whatsoever or not creative, you can learn these recipes on the internet. You can check them out, you know, on the website, on Raised in Wisco, on the providerlife.com. You can check out all these recipes. Don't be afraid. Today, I'm going to tell you the most basic recipe to take any meat, wild game or store purchased, and turn it into the best shredded meat that you can use as the base of any recipe you want to make. Today, we used goose. You take your goose breasts, put them in the Instant Pot or the pressure cooker, fill them to the top with water, add a half a cup of cooking oil, a half a cup of lemon juice, and whatever spice you like. Three ingredients. That's all you need is three ingredients beyond water and your wild game or beef or pork. You let it go in the slow cooker for 8 to 10 hours until it falls apart. If it doesn't fall apart yet, it's not ready. Don't let it go way too long. Otherwise, your stock, your juice in there could burn. But when you cook something, when you cook that meat with a half a cup of oil, a half a cup of lemon or lime juice, and any seasoning you like. When it falls apart, shred it apart, put it back in the juices, stir it, and it will absorb into that meat. A lot of wild game, the problem with a lot of wild game is it doesn't have fat in it. So it has that real lean, dry protein on the inside of it. And the best way to combat that is to add some oil to it, add your acid, which is your lemon juice, lime juice, balsamic vinegar, any type of acid. Use red wine if that's your thing, and whatever seasoning you like. So I took that and I fried that in some Wisconsin butter, just to get the shredded meat a little bit crispy on the outside. Then you just take a hoagie roll and grill it, butter it and grill it. Mm. And then saute your favorite vegetables. I used red bell peppers because I think they're a little sweeter than green, and onions. I used some of my favorite Provider seasonings on that. And then we put Cheese Whiz on the top. But if you want to be more Wisconsin,
put Cheese Whiz?
That's what actual Philly cheesesteaks are made with. Did you know that?
No, they're not.
I promise you that. Look at Taylor's nodding. You know that,
cheese
right?
Cheese Whiz? Yep.
Yeah, if you get an authentic Philly cheesesteak, it's made with cheese. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I'll tell you that this sandwich was delicious.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I can't just do just Cheese Whiz. I'm from Wisconsin, so we put a little.
It tasted like there was some real cheese.
Yeah, there's real cheese on it. I had a little Cheese Whiz on it, but then we also used some natural Wisconsin provolone and mozzarella. You know, so you just stack it on your grilled bun, grilled hoagie, add the onions and peppers. And one thing, though, that I will say, when you're grilling, sautéing vegetables, there's a fine point between too firm and mushy. You want to catch them while they're limp but not soggy. Does that make sense? Soggy
kind
vegetables.
Like the al dente for
yeah,
food.
I think that's a great example. Al dente for noodles, you want to kind of do that with your vegetables. And it turned out awesome. Taylor and Mike Kretschmer ate it today. What did you guys think of that?
It's stellar, for
sure. Did you do extra Cheese Whiz?
No, Joel made them for us. They were awesome. They were, I'm telling you, I would put that as a meat guy, as you all know.
So, everybody doesn't know this, but Mike's job is actually meat. He's an actual meat person. He sells prime beef for a living.
All Wisconsin sourced products. And I had to question Joel. I shouldn't have had to question him because I knew it was a wild game of some sort. I'm like, is this goose or is this chuck roast? And I was 100% serious. Like, it shredded apart so well. It just was, I want it for my trip to North Dakota. I need to get that recipe down so I can take it for the
it's
guys.
And
the,
so right, easy.
The guys are going to just, jaws will drop and no bar pizza will be eating that all week long.
No, plus it's kind of magical.
Ooh, Philly cheesesteak pizza.
Ooh, that would be a good
that
idea.
That would be delicious.
It? You could make wild goose Philly cheesesteak pizza.
Done. Look at that. Two recipes.
I'm in on that one
show.
For yeah. Sure.
Okay, now what are we going to? What would you use for the sauce for a wild Philly cheesesteak pizza? That's the Cheese Whiz.
No.
Oh,
dear God.
Oh, Grandma Clayfish, who always joins us in the lobby, is sitting. She's shaking her head. No. She can't even fathom the thought of cheese whiz in any recipe.
Just marinara.
My little Italian mom.
I was going to say maybe you could do marinara. Or what's the
garlic, white sauce.
Like an Alfredo type of sauce would be good. But you know what would be even better with that? If you'd make a southern gravy as the sauce.
Oh, my.
That's the ticket. How is this possible? I just ate and my mouth is watering. That's what happens when you listen to Raised in Wisco. We love having you along on your civic media station throughout Wisconsin. Saturdays at 11. Thank you for joining us. Can't wait to share again the great outdoors with you next week on Raised in Wisco.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will review the weekend happenings and look ahead as we count down towards election 2024. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, SkillBridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.